Sound of Hockey episode 199. We're calling this one the Martin Jones episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, Martin Jones is one win away from 199. And that is special because he's now a Kraken.
That was very well done. Nice pick. Not too deep, not too shallow. That's a nice cut. I really like it. Well done.
Okay. It was very relevant.
Yes, it was. Hey, this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by Andy Ide. Hello, Andy.
How's it going? I'm at Andy Ide on the Twitter.
And John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And we are coming to you, well, you guys are coming to the listeners from Seattle. I'm back in Colorado with my friends at their very cool vacation house in Crested Butte, so I'm excited to be here. But that's why we're remote today. We also have in this house some, there's a toddler and a dog in the next room, so there might be a non-zero amount of background noise on this particular episode, but that's okay. Hey, Andy, I think you'll be happy to know, or maybe sad to know, I'm not sure, it depends on how much you appreciate my suffering, but when we landed in Denver, we got the Andy treatment, which was there was no gate available, so we had to sit there for a full
nightmare.
Hour. Yes. It was rough, yeah, and I was trying to think, like, what's the worst kind of delay, and that one might be up there, because you land, and then you're like, all right, I made it, right? Like, time to get off this stupid plane, and then...
Yep.
Nope, you're going to sit there for an hour.
And you just sit there. There's nothing to do.
Nothing to do. And I was in a full-on screaming baby section. Like, it was pretty intense, and people were getting a little moody by the end of it, but we made it. No big deal. Hey, we'll start the show with a couple of reviews.
Oh.
Five-star reviews, specifically. Sounders Hearts Squids says, I feel like I have Kraken fan friends now. Friends are in quotations, so... That would tell me that it's not a genuine friendship, but
they don't consider us friends then? Is that the deal?
Exactly. I've never been a podcast person, but over the last few weeks, I was needing something different to listen to at work and found this podcast suggested on the Kraken subreddit. I started with episode 153 from last year, and I'm sad about how quickly I caught up. I don't live in Seattle currently, and no one I know in person is a Kraken fan or wants to hear me talk about them a lot. So it's been fun to hear some of the things I've thought about over the last year be discussed in the pod, learn a lot more about hockey in the PNW and across the NHL, and also just generally be able to share the excitement with other real people, not anonymous Reddit folks, even if I don't actually know you. My only nitpick is that I've started hesitating to listen to episodes on my commute because the occasional bleeped curse words scare the honk out of me on the road. Oh. Can't wait for the new season to start and keep up the great work. You know,
it's the second time we've heard that.
Yeah, somebody else told us that too, and I guess that does make some sense, and we're sorry for scaring the honk out of you. I think where that came from is we decided very, very early on that we wanted to keep it clean for kids, but it's quite natural for me to curse now and again, so so we landed on
just
a goal
Darren,
horn.
Just Darren.
Yeah, we landed on a goal horn as our bleep, so it's the bleep horn, and since you
there's
started
There's another option,
one,
though.
Which right? is what?
We changed the bleep.
Yeah.
Right. I was kind of thinking we could theoretically change it to the Kraken horn, which is more of a low horn.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff
it's a fairy horn.
Sounds less like a car horn, right? You would think. So
well,
maybe
a fairy
that's a good
horn,
solution.
That's what it is, right? Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. All right. It's fair feedback. We'll think about it. I also sometimes think about the Bad Boys, siren sound.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But on Bad Boys, we at least say Bad Boys beforehand. So I think you know
yeah.
that it's coming.
And it's pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of understand where this reviewer is coming from because I've been driving and there have been commercials that have horns in them, like actual car horns, like an insurance commercial or something. And I've a couple times have jumped a little bit like, oh, am I about to get hit?
Yeah. Okay.
Where it's like doorbell commercials where like my dog goes crazy because there's a doorbell on the commercial.
Yeah. And that horn actually is the Ottawa Senators horn, believe it or not. So we probably could switch it up. But
the more you
okay,
know.
Our other one comes from W Coast Dude. I wonder what coast he's referencing with the W. I'm not sure. It says, Kraken connection that I need. 5 stars. I moved from Tacoma to CT, which would be Connecticut, I assume, right before the Kraken were announced. Spent a year hyped up for the team, and then the season started, but felt a little disconnected with no other Kraken fans that I know of in the area. This podcast helps me feel connected to the rest of the Kraken fan base, and I look forward to every episode. Well, that's very, very nice. Thank you, W Coast Dude. Okay, those are our 5-star reviews. If you want to leave your 5-star review, just put it on Apple Podcasts, and we'll read it on the next episode. And as long as we're on the topic of connecting with our listeners, next week, we mentioned it last week, next week is going to be episode 200. So we're going to do some special things. First and foremost, we are going to invite you to leave us voicemails that we will actually play on the show. Just tell us, I don't know, favorite memories from the podcast or things you like about the podcast or whatever. And, you know, website too, things you like. Feel free to let us know. Especially, we'd love to hear from those of you that have been around since the very beginning. So, and new listeners too. We don't care. But hey, call the number. Here it is. It's 419-SOUND-OH. So that's 419-768-6364. Again, 419-768-6364. And we'll also tweet that out from the Sound of Hockey account very soon. So that's that. Let's get to some Kraken news, slash Seattle news. I think the biggest piece of Seattle hockey news this week is that the rivalry series between Team USA and Team Canada is coming to Climate Pledge Arena. That's pretty awesome. What do you know about this, John?
Well, I know it's been a while coming. Really excited about it. And for people that don't know, this is, you know, it's a very contested games with U.S. and Canada. A lot of fun with the women's national teams. Very exciting hockey. I've been watching it for a while, and I know the Kraken have been working on kind of bringing the Team USA here and looking at the rivalry series for a while. So it's going to be Sunday, November 20th, and there's some pre-sale options. I think if you're already a season ticket holder, you can get some tickets now. It's at 4 p.m., so it's a Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it should be a rowdy crowd because I've got a bunch of buddies already kind of hammering to get some tickets together, and so we're going to get a big group together, but it should be fun. If you have a little one with a ponytail or even anybody, really, it's going to be exciting games because it's going to be fun to see them out there. The Hillary Knights of the world are going to be there. All the superstars are going to be there, so yep. Check it out.
And they really do hate each other, so it's always fun to watch those games.
Yeah, it's a good rivalry.
Also, the Kraken have relaunched their The Depths memberships. What is the deal here? I know it was, well, I won't say anything. I'll just let you.
Well, they relaunched it. It's a little cheaper, and it looks very similar to the other one that they had last year, The Depths last year. So I think they're going to make a more concentrated effort to make it better as far as the content and material. But it's basically, it's essentially a fan membership thing that you get extra content, extra deals. You get 10% off at the store and stuff like that. So if you're interested in that stuff, check it out. I think all season ticket holders get it still. It's fine. It could be better. And I think they recognize that. So they're trying to rebrand, relaunch it a bit. So keep an eye on that if that's something of interest to you.
Okay. And the Kraken also announced a few hires this week. Jeff Tambellini, longtime player. He's joining the team as the director of player development. I guess, is he kind of replacing Norm McKeever? Is that right?
It seems so.
I believe, yeah.
Okay.
By title, anyways.
Matt Lark is a skills consultant, and our friend Andrew Allen, the former goalie coach, he is back with the organization, but as a goaltending scout. So good for him. I think, you know, I felt kind of bad that he only got to spend 1 year as the goalie coach and then seemed like he was going to be out looking for a job. So I'm happy to see that he's back with the organization.
You know the coolest thing about Jeff Tambellini?
What's that?
Former head coach and general manager of the Trail Smoke Eaters. He's a Smokey.
That's a good one. Yeah, we love the Smokies.
Yeah. Actually, you told us a little story about him this weekend that I thought was pretty funny.
So when I was doing, I did a draft profile of Kent Johnson, who Tambellini coached in Trail, and I thought, I'll get the coach's input on how what kind of player Kent Johnson is. And so at that time, he had already left there and was now a scout with Tampa Bay. So without even thinking of how stupid this was, I sent an email off to Tampa Bay asking if I could speak to him. And they politely sent back declining, saying we don't allow scouts to talk about draft-eligible players. And I thought, of course they don't. Like, what a stupid question that was. So I was still thinking of him as a coach, and I emailed them back and said, I'm sorry, that was really dumb of me, and they got a good laugh out of it. So I almost talked to him one time.
Yeah, all right. That's good stuff. Welcome to the organization, Jeff Tambellini, and welcome back, Andrew Allen, and also welcome, Matt Lark. And finally, welcome to the Kansas City Mavericks, who are the new ECHL affiliate for the Kraken. What happened to the Allen Americans?
I guess they no longer are the affiliate.
Well, I think that's how this thing goes. It's pretty
they jump around.
It's pretty lucrative. Yeah, it's things change quite a bit.
So basically what this means is, just a reminder, the ECHL is kind of two steps below the NHL. So one step below the AHL. Players can shuttle back and forth between the AHL and the ECHL. Typically players that play in the ECHL don't end up making it to the NHL, but there are certainly examples of players who have made it from the ECHL.
Yanni Gord is an example.
Good point. Yep. He did play in the ECHL. It's also a good spot for goalies to try to develop a little bit, because there's only one goal crease in the AHL, and usually they'll ride one starter, right? So it is kind of tough for guys, especially younger goalies, to find time in pro hockey. So a lot of times they'll use the ECHL as a place to kind of put them for a while until there's a spot. So interesting little maneuver there. But that is pretty much all we have to say about Kraken news this week. Go ahead.
I had just purchased an Allen Americans hat too a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah. Collector's item.
So you're going to like burn it now? Or
it's a collector's item.
Yeah,
now.
Are they dead to you now?
No.
It's a good hat.
It's not a collector's item because the Allen Americans still exist.
That's true. It's a decent hat in its own right.
Right. We're going to do some more mailbag.
We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
So last week we put out a request for questions on Twitter, and we did it with very short notice, and a whole bunch of questions came in after we had finished recording. So in fairness to those that participated, we wanted to come back and answer some more of those questions that came in. Travis Kersey asked, longtime follower, but I might have missed this on a pod. What is the deal with Jesse Puljärvi? Why are things so bad in Edmonton? I see rumors we could go after him. I think he means the Kraken, / he could be a good fit. My only background on him is how small his helmet looked on him when he was on the ice versus the Kraken.
Great
last
feedback. Great observation. Yeah.
Andy, by the way, Andy's under the weather. So if you hear him losing a lung, that's the situation. It's a non-COVID illness, we're told.
I think.
So I don't know. I mean, I think he's one of those players that like people think that he should be a really good offensive player, but he's only kind of like middling in terms of his offensive stats. It seems like the analytics community really likes him. He's kind of a play driver. I don't think there's really a fit for him anymore in Seattle, unless there's a player for player type of trade where they have dollars go out to have him come back in. I just don't think they're going to really have the cap space to add him anymore. So yeah, that's kind of that.
Yeah, I do think it's amplified because he's playing in Canada, or specifically Edmonton, obviously. Those things, he's kind of more under a microscope, and so little mistakes and little things, they don't give him a little the flexibility that you might see in a U.S. market. So I think that's where you see a lot of the heat come from him, and why, you know, things aren't great. But he's a fine player. I think he would be fine in Seattle. It's just there's not a fit right now.
I would agree. I think he's better than some of the criticism you see of him, if that makes sense. I think he does get a lot of scrutiny, and he was a high draft pick too, so that brings some scrutiny as well.
Yep.
And as I think we mentioned on maybe the last episode, he's got incredible facial expressions. So that's
okay.
That's important.
Brandon Bryan asked, do you think the Kraken would be willing to put Shane Wright on the wing to start his career, or is he strictly a center? We didn't ask that last week.
No.
Okay, good. All right, so what do you guys think?
I thought they would put him on the wing, but the more and more I think about, they might kind of keep him at center just, and maybe move Gord to the wing. Because, you know, like these are development years for him. And if we're developing him, why put him on the wing? Why not just kind of throw him, you know, assuming he can play a halfway competent center position, right? And he's not a liability back there. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I personally think it's actually better to keep him at center because, as you just mentioned, it's a development thing. But also, like, he is a natural center. So it's probably more comfortable for him to play the full 200-foot game, which you don't really do as a wing. And if you're trying to learn so much at the NHL level, yeah, it's easier to play wing because you don't have as much responsibility at both ends of the ice. But, like, I think you're kind of learning a new position then too. Like if you've played almost all your career as a center and then they suddenly tell you to go learn the NHL game, but also learn a sort of a new position, I don't think that's putting him in a position for success necessarily, but that's just my take on it. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there are differences between center and wing. It might look all the same if you're watching, but Darren mentioned the responsibilities. There are a lot of defensive responsibilities, and it is learning a new position. So I say put him at center, But it also wouldn't surprise me if a couple games they move him. You know, if he plays a couple games at wing, it wouldn't shock me. But I think ultimately he'll be a center this year.
Yeah. So in the defensive zone, just to add a little more light on that, in the defensive zone, the center is almost like a third defenseman. Like he's back there to kind of cover up whenever the defensemen have to chase the puck or whatever. Wings are typically covering up around the point. And then when they do the breakout, like if the Kraken get the puck down below the goal line, typically what will happen is the center is supposed to swing all the way down low. Down by the goal line and make himself available for a pass. The wings just have to go to the boards basically and be kind of the outlet pass on the board. So there's a lot more that the center has to do in the defensive zone. And, you know, just in general, like it's supposed to be a harder position because you truly are skating the full 200 feet of the ice, right? Versus wings really are only covering about 150 feet of it. So good question there, Brandon. Hunter W. asks, who is the better addition to the Kraken, Andre Burakovsky or Oliver Bjorkstrand? Great question. And I don't think there's a right answer on that.
I would lean towards Bjorkstrand. I just think he's just a notch better, but Burakovsky's pretty good too.
I'd say the same thing, but how about this? Let's put another variable. Who's a better goal scorer, Burakovsky, Bjorkstrand, or McCann?
Ooh.
Spicy.
You know, that's very spicy. I think we'll find out this season. How about that?
Yeah, all right. Tune in later.
Okay. Yeah. RJ Arnold asks, with the re-signing of Donato, the forward group is pretty crowded. Which player is the most likely to be traded, or at least which ones do you think have some trade value? We kind of talked about this one last week, I think, but I think there are people saying that Donskoy should be traded, but you know, I just think his trade value is too low, so I don't see that happening anytime soon. And then, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, individual players that you don't want to see anybody get traded off the team.
Yeah, I don't know if that'd be a trade.
Well, best case scenario, Donskoy has a return to form year, and because he's on the last year of his deal, somebody wants him at the trade deadline.
Yeah,
that's so.
Yep.
So if you put that, I'm not one to say let's trade Donskoy for sake of getting him off the roster, because I don't think he's got any trade value with the contract he has and the current cap situation. So
right, and his stats.
I like Donskoy. I think he just had a really rough year last year for multiple reasons, but you know he's due for a rebound because this is kind of what they refer to as regressing to the mean. So he'll regress back to his normal self this year. So other than that, I don't think that the forward group is that crowded to like dictate somebody being traded, unless some of the AHL guys start exceeding their expectations or developing quicker than they are expected to.
And you're exactly right there. I think they're kind of in line with where they were last year with like we were like, holy crap, what are they gonna do with all these forwards? But then you start to think about it, they really only do have like two extra forwards, right? Maybe four if you consider some of the bubble guys that are probably gonna end up in the AHL anyway. But so I don't know if it's like actually overcrowded, but it's kind of at its limit, I think, which tells me they're pretty close to their kind of their final roster for the season. John Kinsella asks, did I miss Riley Sheahan departing? He isn't even talked about. Well, he's an unrestricted free agent, and they've added some other pieces. So I think, he's pretty much just out the door, and that's kind of what happens.
And he hasn't signed anywhere. Agents, that's the crazy thing. Yeah. So.
Yep, he's still out there. Kraken Atoll, A-T-O-L-L, am I saying that right? Atoll?
Sure.
Okay. With the Kraken improving the team on paper, what's your way too early guess on how many points they rack up in the standings this season? Are they playoff contenders?
Ooh, this is a deep question.
It's hard to answer, too, right now. But playoff contenders, as in they could make the playoffs or they should be in the mix, maybe that's a yes. But it's just so hard because there's other teams involved. It's not just, you know, everyone's not going to be static.
Yeah. So I have an educated guess here. We, a couple times, our good friend Curtis has plugged in to the Jay Fresh roster builder thing, kind of how the Kraken are going to look in the standings based on their like war ratings. And so Jay Fresh predicts them to be at 95 points. However, they don't have any data on Matty Beniers or Shane Wright at this point. So you put them in as replacement level, which is basically just like the most average player you can imagine. And I think they're both probably, I mean, Beniers is definitely above average. We don't really know how Wright is going to be in his first year yet, but theoretically you could add a couple more points to that projection if you had, you know, a little bit more data on Beniers and Wright.
What did you say the point total was?
95 was the
projection. That's a playoff team. for the most part.
Yeah, mostly. It's close to the bubble, right? So I think they're probably going to be, I don't know. Last year we were really
optimistic about it. Jay Fresh and those guys also predicted.
So
it's hard to say, but I think based on the upgrades and if we have some improvement in goal, I think that it's going to be like they're going to be a bubble playoff contender. That's what I think is going to happen.
Ultimately, I think that they're going to be harder to play against, and ultimately they'll be more competitive. I mean, that's not getting specifically a prediction, but
and they'll score
I
more.
I just think they'll be more fun to watch this
and
year.
And they'll score more for sure.
Yes, definitely. So.
Brooks Franklin asks, what kind of kit does Martin Jones wear? That's an outstanding question there. I actually had to go look it up after I saw this question come through. He has worn True Gear, so the same kind of look that both Philip Grubauer and Joey Decord have. Last year, it obviously was Flyers colors, orange and black, so I would guess he probably sticks with that, although we don't really know. He was asked about that on his press conference. By
somebody other than Darren, which surprised me that you let that go.
Well, I showed up late, and I didn't want to ask something that had already been asked. So
I was like, oh, but Darren's not going to be asking the goalie gear question.
Not this time.
I was on that press conference as well, and I swear his eyes lit up a little bit when he talked about the potential of like thinking about like the Kraken and his gear setup and, you know, potentially a helmet. So
yeah, he didn't give anything away. His previous masks have been mostly just team themed. When he was with San Jose, he had like a San Jose logo on each side and some, it was like, looked like laces tied down the top, like keeping the sides together, which was kind of cool. And then his Flyers helmet, I actually liked. It was very team themed, but it was done in kind of a cool way with the Flyers logos coming off the sides of the helmet. And I thought that was pretty cool. So we'll see what he comes up with. Lisa Martin asks, will there be a Sound of Hockey meetup before the new season starts?
Let's do it. Some reason, I feel like she lives south Seattle or south of town. So if she figures out her availability, I will show up and we'll drink whiskey or whatever she brought us last time. So how about Georgetown neighborhood or even West Seattle? Have you heard of West Seattle?
Oh, yes, I have. And that brings me to our next question from Sir W. Cotton. He said, why hasn't Darren joined the Discord? All right, enough. And what happens to the bunny saga? I also live in West Seattle and there are bunnies everywhere. How can he tell what's the neighbors and what's wild? I know all the hard-hitting questions here. So technically, the neighbor's bunny was never actually the neighbor's bunny. Just the kid had given one of the bunnies a name, like one of the bunnies that runs around in the neighborhood. There are a lot of bunnies. This is true. I think where it was really frustrating for me last year is I was trying to grow new grass, and every time I'd open the window, there'd be another bunny eating the grass seed that I had just put down. I haven't done any grass seed this year, so it's not as irksome to me to see the bunnies, I will say. And realistically, I've kind of learned now that all the grass in West Seattle just goes dormant unless you like water it really incessantly, which we just don't want to do. So I'm not quite as worried about my lawn now as I'm an old Wiley homeowner as opposed to, you know, a brand new homeowner. So I've learned that I don't get worked up about the bunnies eating my grass. What I will say is I'm quite frustrated with the number of dandelions that have popped up this summer, because those are very much irritating. Okay, thank you to everybody who participated in the mailbag, even though you really participated last week and we just didn't get to you.
We'll do more.
But those are some great questions, so we appreciate it. We will do more. Yeah, just be on the lookout for that. Okay, a couple signings around the league. So John Klingberg finally finds a landing spot in Anaheim, just as we all expected, for 1 year at $7 million. This is a really interesting deal here for a lot of reasons.
This is also really brutal for him, because he probably left $56 million on the table by leaving Dallas, expecting to get, you know, 60 plus, you know, obviously over 7 or 8 years. So I don't know. I feel really bad for Klingberg, because sure, he'll get some, you know, he might be flipped at the trade deadline. It's kind of the classic Taylor Hall situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little nervous for him, because he's turns 30. And once he turned 30, the market starts to dry up a bit. And clearly there wasn't a huge market for him this year, or what he wanted. So that makes Anaheim better, though, obviously. But Anaheim, we're kind of expecting, or I'm expecting them to take a step back. Klingberg helps, gets them to the cap floor, which is also was an issue in Anaheim. I don't know. What do you guys think? Anything beyond that?
Obviously, he was expecting more in free agency. He actually fired his agent like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
It's interesting how this all played out. You're right, though. It is going to start drying up for him. Unless he has a monster year, maybe that'll resurface things next offseason. But interesting landing spot.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I do think, clearly he's going to be flipped at the deadline. And I think it's a interesting play, though, by Pat Verbeek, who's the new general manager there in Anaheim, to bring him in and to get him for 1 year, right? Yeah. It's like, yep. You know, why not? Like, that's a pretty clever piece of work,
them,
I think.
Right, if they're not in playoff contention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So, interesting there. I do think it makes Anaheim better, as you said. I still don't know if they're a playoff team. I think they're probably a couple years away from being really good, but they showed signs early in the season. Like, we kind of thought they were going to be a playoff team just based on how things were going, but it kind of cooled off for them. Kyler Yamamoto goes back to Edmonton, 2 years, $3.1 million. The man from Spokane.
Avoids arbitration. Right.
Mm-hmm. Jesper Bratt back to the New Jersey Devils for 1 year, $5.45 million. It's a specific number there. And a pretty big number, I think, for Jesper Bratt. I think he's one of those guys that just kind of flies under the radar just because I personally don't keep a close eye on him, right? Like,
and playing for New Jersey.
Am I right? Do you guys... Yeah. Hear much about him?
Yeah, no, but I know that there was some consternation about him coming back. People were worried.
The 1 year is interesting, actually, because that just puts him in the same boat next year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the player starts to get more leverage at that point. So I'd kind of keep an eye on him as far as you know, his future in New Jersey. He's a really good player, and I think there's some tension there between team and player.
And if you mentioned leverage, like if he goes out and has a good year, then you know he has even more leverage and could end up getting a raise.
Yeah, and well, he gets a raise because it qualifying offer.
Well, yeah,
theoretically,
yeah, but I mean a big raise.
Yeah, but you automatically get a pay increase the following year on a qualifying offer.
So actually, I think if you're over $1 million, I think you just have to get the same amount. But usually they'll give, if it's under $1 million, then I think they have to give you a raise. But if it's over $1 million, then they just have to give you the same amount. And if they do that, then they effectively qualify you, I think is how that
works. The more you know, kind of, maybe we think.
The more John knows.
Yeah.
Andrew Mangiapane back to Calgary, 3 years, $5.8 million per year. That's a pretty good number from him, but he's coming off of a huge season there. So makes a lot of sense. Oliver Shillington, 2 years, $2.5 million back to Calgary as well. Those are decent-sized cap hits, aren't they, John?
Yeah, and that pretty much takes Calgary to the limit. So no Kadri, if you're still thinking that's a possibility. It's very
Which
unlikely.
Is bringing us more and more to believe that Kadri is going to end up with the Islanders, because he is still technically out there. But we've seen some rumors that they think, like some people think he's going to the Islanders, which I think that aligns, because last year, they haven't announced any signings at all this summer, which is interesting. And I think it was last year that Lamoriello waited until the very last minute to announce who his signings were. Why do they do that?
I don't know. While you were saying that, I was like, what's the point of that? I mean, what strategic edge do you get by not doing that?
I think the edge you get is that other teams don't know what your true cap situation is.
Right.
So when you're making trades, they don't have that data point to be like, well, I know you have to make this trade because of your cap problems or whatever. So I think that's kind of the thing. Last year, I think there was some deal with long-term injured reserve, and I want to say Johnny Boychuk maybe was involved in that, where waiting to the last minute like saved them some cap hit or something. I don't know. Anyway, Nazem Kadri is officially still out there, but I think unofficially there might be a secret landing spot for him that has been determined already. We now move on to segments, and our first segment is everyone's favorite segment.
Weekly one-timers.
Go get it, Corner!
Didn't we already talk about that with Martin Jones?
Back. Only sort of. So this is it's really not a full goalie gear corner, but Shifty, the mask painter for Joey Decord, he put out sort of an image, not a full image, but like a teaser. There you go, on Instagram, of Joey Decord's new mask. It has a lot of sparkle. Lots and lots of sparkle. And so far, all we really see is the main Kraken logo on the side, Joey Decord's number 35. The anchor logo is throughout the mask, it appears. And then there seems to be a lot of sparkle. So
no sign of Sparky just yet. right?
Just yet, but seen. I am very confident that he will be on there. Sparky, the mascot from ASU, who Joey Decord likes to include on all his masks. So it looks cool, though. I'm pretty excited to see.
We're hyped.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Well done with that teaser, Shifty. And I'm pretty excited to be getting back into Goalie Gear Corner season because everyone knows this is everyone's favorite part of the season. We now move on to...
Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that. We now move on to weekly one-timers. The Calgary Wranglers are back in what sense, Andy Ide?
Well, if you remember, the Stockton Heat, which is Calgary's AHL team, was moved back to Calgary from Stockton.
They were recalled. And
if you recall, last we checked.
They were wrangled back to Calgary.
Yes, but they were going to change the name, and they hadn't announced the new name. And now that it is, it's the Calgary Wranglers, who were the name of an old WHL team. Before there was the Hitmen, there was the Calgary Wranglers.
Okay.
Different logos, which disappointed me because the old logo I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, so the Calgary Wranglers, I think, host the Phoenix, the Coachella Firebirds on the Wranglers home opener will be against Coachella Valley.
Is the Wranglers logo just a pair of bootcut jeans? Ooh, I got him.
No.
There goes his other lung.
But it is similar. It is a guy. The old one was a guy on a horse. But they had this alternate jersey of just a cowboy hat, which is kind of in line with what you're looking at there.
Okay. Our next weekly one-timer. Adidas and the NHL will be cutting ties after the 23-24 season, as broken by friend of the pod, Greg Wyshynski on ESPN. Remember, Adidas has been making the jerseys for the NHL for, I think it's been 7 years is the total of their deal. So when that's over, the NHL will need a new partner to make their jerseys. So it's been, let's see, it was Reebok last. I think before Reebok, it was Coho. Neither Reebok nor Coho makes hockey stuff anymore. Coho, I don't even think exists. Did Nike make jerseys for a while? I think they did. They don't make hockey stuff anymore either. So interesting there. We'll see who comes out. I like the Adidas jerseys.
I don't know.
I think they're pretty good. Although, I mean, it wasn't like they made that many huge advances in like the style of the jerseys. I remember when they switched to Reebok, the style of the jerseys changed a lot. When they switched to Adidas, there wasn't much of a change in the style other than they added those like golf ball dimples on the shoulders. But the big thing that they did was they did the reverse retro jerseys with all the teams. And Adidas was very much involved in that process. So, and they're doing it again this year. So, so we'll see. Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. The full NHL preseason schedule is revealed. That's exciting, isn't it, John?
Very exciting. Now, these have probably been like trickled out because we obviously knew Seattle's, but there are a couple neutral site games that I'm just going to call out. There's going to be one in Wichita, Kansas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Independence, Missouri, which is outside Kansas City, and the home of the Kansas City Mavericks, who we've talked about.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. There's a game in Milwaukee and Salt Lake City, and one in Gander, Newfoundland, which is pretty cool because I just saw Come From Away. Shout out to Come From Away, the Broadway show.
Outstanding show. I've also seen that one, by the way, and I cried like a baby. I don't know about you, John.
It's good. It gives you chills for sure, and I'm sure Canadians feel pretty proud of it. So
yeah, it's the story. If you're not familiar, it's the story of what happened on 9/11. All those planes got grounded, and so many international planes were rerouted to Gander, which is just the smallest town, and the people kind of opened their homes to all these complete strangers from all over the world. So it's a really, really uplifting story about something that is a very bad time in our history, obviously. So go see it if you get a chance and prepare to cry a lot.
Yeah. And then the last one I want to call out is the one in Boise, Idaho. We actually talked about this. Arizona and Vegas are playing in Idaho on October 8th.
Do we think, like, I remember we talked about this last year, like we were all psyched for the preseason because it was the first time that the Kraken were going to appear. But normally the preseason isn't that exciting. Mm-hmm. Do we think we're there now? Did it take just 1 year for us not to be as excited for the preseason?
That's probably true. Some of the luster is going to be worn off, especially towards the end of the preseason. But I think people are still going to be excited to see the Kraken. There's new players, right? There's lots of stuff that's going to be happening. So, and they're going to be doing it at climate pledge this
climate
year.
Pledge, yeah, which to, is, yeah, yeah, they did last year.
I think people will still be excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see all these new guys, like you mentioned. So as a fan perspective, I'm really excited. It will be different than the first time they took the ice in Spokane, right? Spokane was unique and a lot of fun. But this is all about the players, not necessarily the team, if that makes any sense at all. But I'm a sicko.
We close the show with our tweets of the week. Andy, your tweet of the week.
My tweet of the week comes from Wyatt Arndt, whose Twitter handle is The Stanchion, which he named himself that after The Stanchion assisted on a Kevin Bieksa goal in the playoffs. Puck went off The Stanchion to him.
We've talked about this. Andy, yes. Thank you.
And yeah. I forget who they beat, but they ended up going to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I got
after that goal.
Thank you.
But so he responded to a tweet that I put out about the hires, especially like Jeff Tamberlini, and he said, "I have to post one of the greatest back checks of all time every time I see Jeff Tamberlini's name." And this video he posted is pretty incredible. Vancouver, it's when Tamberlini played for Vancouver. They're playing the Predators. Martin Erat is on a breakaway. And out of nowhere, Tamberlini backchecks, not only catches him, but knocks shoulder to shoulder, knocks him down and into the goalpost, knocks the goal off the moorings. It's a pretty impressive, if you watch the video, it's a pretty impressive, he came out of nowhere. I don't know how, he was back by the blue line and he caught him. Wow. So that's now the new director of player development for the Predators.
And it's Martin pretty Erat, awesome play. Course. I love that. Yeah.
Famously traded for Philip Forsberg. Can't forget that. My tweet of the week comes from Mike Comito. Vin Scully, the legendary broadcaster, passed away this week. He tweeted a photo of Vin Scully skating with Jackie Robinson. It must have been like, what, the 1950s or something. It is just such a cool photo. The two of them look like they're getting ready for a ice skating race or something. It's awesome. I absolutely love it. So that is that. RIP Vin Scully, who is just one of the coolest dudes
legend.
Ever. Yeah. And then, John, your tweet of the week. Do you have one? You didn't put one on the show notes. Does that mean you don't
have
one?
I don't have one.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, wait.
Okay. Late just, breaking news.
How about I'm going to pivot and talk about games on the radar.
Pivot.
World Junior starts next Tuesday, August 9th.
Okay. Good call. Yeah. I actually accidentally skipped that in weekly one-timers, so nice work.
Okay. Uh-huh. So the World Juniors is no Russian team, no Belarus team.
Nope.
The matchups don't look that exciting because Finland and Canada are in one group and U.S. and Sweden are in the other group. So if you're circling games, it's U.S. versus Sweden should be exciting, Finland versus Canada. Czechia is also in, who should be pretty good. So, but all the games are on NHL Network. The big things is probably next weekend where Czechia plays Canada and then Sweden plays USA on Sunday. So I would circle those games as ones to watch.
And for local fans, on Team Canada, Olin Zellweger and Ronan Seeley, two Everett Silvertip defensemen, will be playing for Team Canada.
And there are lots of Kraken connections, lots of local connections, but no Shane Wright, no Matty Beniers, which is not surprising. No. And remember, this is the makeup of what was supposed to happen back in late December, early January that got underway and then got canceled because of some COVID scares. So
hopefully it's more in exciting games than the Hlinka tournament has had.
Which has not been very exciting, as you mentioned. Okay, so that is our episode 199. Episode 200 is coming up next week. As we mentioned earlier, leave your voicemail at 419-SOUND-OH. So that's 419-768-6364. We will play some of those on next week's episode. Subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the next show. Thanks again to Sounders, Heart Squids, and W Coast Dude for the great reviews. And thank you to everybody who participated in the mailbag. We'll talk to you all next week for episode 200. Cheers.
On the northeast tip of North America, on an island called Newfoundland, there's an airport. It used to be one of the biggest airports in the world. And next to it is a town called Gander. Welcome to the rack if you come from away. Huh? You probably understand about a half of what we say. Yes. They say no man's an island, but an island makes a man. Especially when one comes from one like Newfoundland. Welcome to the rack.
That morning, I'm in the classroom. It's our first day